You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
A lot to get to today. Ty's producing the show back in New York City. I'm coming to you from my home studio. I'm getting used to saying that, Ty. Not gonna lie about it. Used to working from home, boo. So, Ty, are you rolling solo today? You have anybody else? Is Michael with you? Is anybody there with you?
Michael's in the building today.
He is in the building. Oh, so two back to back.
Tango.
Back to back days with you and Michael in the studio. I love it. So we've got Ty and Michael who are producing the show. Hoping to hear from Jay Will. Jay Williams, of course, you listen to his show. Hopefully you do. Every morning right here on 98.7 ESPN with Zubin and Keyshawn. So hopefully we'll get him on at some point in time this morning to break down some NCAA action round two. We're gonna dive into that. Ty was kind enough to book Pat Leonard, who covers the Giants for the New York Daily News, to join us. Big news: the Giants they signed Kenny Golladay, which is great. Also, Adoree Jackson, cornerback, apparently is in the house today meeting with the Giants. We'll see what happens if they do sign him. Nice 1-2 punch with Jackson and Bradbury. That would be clutch. Cynthia Freeland will join us. A lot of NFL free agency action, as we know, that's been taking place this week. So I'll break it down with her. We'll look at some of the futures bets out there. You know me, always trying to help people win some money. But obviously, the biggest storyline here in our own backyard is Golladay getting signed by the Giants. 4 years, $72 million deal, $40 million guaranteed. I guess my first question is, do you consider Golladay a number one? Like looking around the league in regard to wide receivers is, you know, I guess first things first, define a number one wide receiver, right? Define in your mind what a number one wide receiver is. Who are those wide receivers to you? And is Kenny Golladay in that number one wide receiver, not destination, but location, right? On your board. Now, was Kenny Golladay a number one wide receiver for the Detroit Lions? Yes, he was. But is Kenny Golladay a number one wide receiver to receive this type of money? It's a lot of money for a wide receiver. 4 years, $72 million. So I'd like to have that conversation at some point in time this morning. Of course, we're going to get into some March Madness. It is round two. Tip-off happens around 12:15. Also, you got the Nets and the Knicks back in action. The Nets, they're taking on the Wizards. The Knicks, they are taking on the 76ers without Ben Simmons, without Embiid. And the Knicks are looking to win five straight. How about that? Meanwhile, the Nets, they're coming off of a loss to Orlando where Kyrie put up 43 points. Really, really impressive. And then, of course, there is more LeBron James conversation. I know that it's, and Ty, you'll appreciate this. So last night was a very dear friend of mine. Her name is Kate. She lives in my area, in my neighborhood. And so she had a birthday party. You know me, I'm being uber careful. I didn't go to the birthday party, but I did take a walk over by her apartment. I wanted to drop off a nice bottle of champagne and a birthday card. And her boyfriend, Tyler was there. And so he came out and the first thing he said was, "I was cleaning the house today." Isn't this cute? "I was cleaning the house today for the birthday party and I was listening to your show yesterday. Man, it was all about LeBron James and Michael Jordan." He said, he's a big Jets fan. He said, "I was going to call in to try to like derail the conversation, you know, are the Jets going to take Zach Wilson at two?" I said, "Listen, you know," and we stumbled upon a really fun conversation yesterday, and I thought it made for really good radio. Now, you know, is it the most appropriate time? Typically, when you have the debate of Michael Jordan and LeBron James, it's typically during a time where there's not a lot going on in sports. But, you know, obviously there is a ton going on, especially right now, is again we're entering to the second round of March Madness. So let's start right there. And again, you know, Ty, I only brag when it's legit, right? Like, I don't like to toot my own horn that often, but I'll toot my own horn when it's like, wow, like I've surpassed my expectations, right? I mean, we've been working together for quite a while now. You know this, right? I don't typically toot my own horn.
Yeah, of course.
So you remember yesterday I told you I went 9-1 on Friday.
You did.
With my college basketball picks. I went 13-3 yesterday. So I'm 22-4 in the past 2 days.
How about that?
So you know what that means? People who are listening to the show are making money.
Ching, ching.
That's what it means. I had Colorado -5.5. I had Cal, Santa Barbara +7.5. I had Grand Canyon. That was one of my best plays at +14. Ohio at +7. Oklahoma as a pick 'em. I teased Colorado, FSU, Kansas. Again, Cal, Santa Barbara, Grand Canyon, Ohio, Texas, USC. I did have Oregon, by the way. A lot of sports books refunded that money because Oregon, that game wasn't played because of COVID-19. So Oregon, the Ducks, they just immediately advance. Anybody had money on that game, their sports book should have just refunded that money, just FYI. My only loss yesterday was the Bonnies, St. Bonaventure. And I'm trying to pull up that game. What was the final score there? I think they got their butts handed to them. LSU 76, the Bonnie 61. I thought this was going to be a much closer game. The Bonnies were, I want to say they were getting 1.5, 2.5 in some places. So I played them straight up, and I played them as a teaser. And also, by the way, I put out there, I had a parlay that I put out there. So I lost the St. Bonaventure bet straight up. I lost the St. Bonaventure bet in a teaser, and I had them as part of my parlay. So that's where I had my three losses. So if it wasn't for the Bonnies, you know, if they would have just kept it a little bit closer, I could have gone, what'd I say? 13-3. I could have gone 16-0 yesterday. Who am I, Ty? I don't even know who I am. What's going on? I'm a football gal. What am I doing? You know what I'm doing? I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm talking to the folks that are in the know. Had a lengthy conversation with Joe Wiz. He has shows here on 98.7 ESPN you can listen to late on Friday night after my Weekend Wager show, as well as Saturday morning. I'm talking to Jimmy Patsos. I'm calling a number of analysts that cover college basketball throughout the entire year. I'm calling coaches that didn't necessarily make it to the tournament and picking their brain. I'm just doing my due diligence, right? I'm spending a lot of time doing a lot of research, and this is how it pays off. You know, and I have this conversation with Joe Wiz quite often, because he compliments me on all my prop bets that I throw out for NFL and NBA. And he says, you know, Anita, I commend you, because it takes a lot of time. It does. It takes a lot of time, a lot of research to dive into the matchups, the defense, how they're playing offensively, you know, all that other stuff. So I'm really thrilled. Again, 22-4, 22-4 in the last 2 days. And so now we're heading into round three. I will have some picks for you this afternoon. Again, we're hoping to get Jay Will on the show, as well as Jimmy Patsos. So hopefully stay tuned for that. But this is what I want to do, because we're going to have, Ty was so kind enough to book Pat Leonard on the show, coming your way at the top of the hour at 10 o'clock. Obviously, the biggest news in our own backyard is Kenny Golladay. And he signs with the Giants, 4 years, $72 million, $40 million guaranteed. I want to dive into that conversation when we get back. What does this mean for the Giants? Also, Dory Jackson apparently is in our neighborhood visiting, having a cup of coffee with the Giants today. That's what's being reported. You know, do the Giants not allow him to exit the building? And then now you solidify a more impressive secondary. That would be nice. What does this mean for the Giants? What does this mean for Daniel Jones? Here's another conversation I want to have with you. You know, a lot of people are still on the fence in regard to Daniel Jones, and I'm one of them. Okay. I'm on the fence with both New York quarterbacks, to be quite frank. Jury's still out for me in regard to Sam Darnold. Okay. But is it fair to say that the jury is still out for you in regard to Daniel Jones? And with the additions of what the Giants have done so far in free agency, with bringing in Kyle Rudolph, now assuming that they don't trade Evan Ingram, you've got that two tight end set with Kyle Rudolph as well as Evan Engram. Now you bring in, again, question, is Kenny Golladay a legit number one wide receiver? And I will rank the wide receivers in the NFL in regard to who I think is a legit one for an organization, okay? And with these additions, is this going to be a year where you're truly going to assess Daniel Jones and if he is the right choice for this Giants organization as their starting quarterback? With what the Giants have done already, they might not be done. We had David Cantor on the show yesterday, NFL agent. He said there's still a number of players that are out there that have not been signed. Now, has the big money been spent yet? Probably. I don't, you know, the Colts really haven't done much, and they're up there. But David Cantor alluded to the fact, just because a team has a lot of salary cap space doesn't necessarily mean that the owner is going to spend the cash, especially this season. It's going to be a very interesting season in the NFL. I want to dive into all this when we get back. And of course, we'll talk about LeBron at some point, more so than just LeBron and comparing him to Michael Jordan. But let's talk about LeBron and his ankle injury from last night. It is a high ankle sprain. And if you know anything about high ankle sprains, sometimes, more times than not, they're worse than a broken ankle. So how long is LeBron going to be out? What does this mean for his MVP odds? He's already dropped to plus 550. Yesterday, when Ty and I were on, we were talking about it. You know, we were pretty confident that LeBron was going to win the MVP this year. He was at plus, I think it was 2-1, plus 230, plus 250. He's now dropped to plus 550.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Okay, so let's just, and Ty and Michael, feel free to jump in here, because this is what I want to do. I want to make a list. I'm going to throw out names, and let's have a conversation in regard to, do we feel that wide receiver is a legit number one wide receiver in the NFL, okay? And I'm sure there's guys out there that, like, we don't even have, like, Davante Adams. Right. That's a no brainer. That's not even a conversation. DeAndre Hopkins. Right. Like, to me, and Michael Thomas. OK, to me, it's no brainer. Number one wide receiver. Stephon Diggs, I think, for sure. Right. If you guys disagree with me, feel free to jump in. DK Metcalf. 1,303 receiving yards. Hold on. 10 touchdowns last year. I think that's borderline. Tyreek Hill, right? Allen Robinson. Listen, I think Terry McLaurin, we haven't even seen the best yet. Boy, they just brought in Curtis Samuel to play opposite him. That's going to be really impressive. I'm trying to, and if there's somebody out there that you think, like, I don't even think Amari, I wouldn't even put Amari Cooper as a wide receiver one. Would you put Amari Cooper as a wide receiver one? So here are guys that I look at that are kind of like on the fence, right? Like Terry McLaurin, Amari Cooper, AJ Brown. Oh, let's go Mike Evans. Mike Evans is definitely a one, right? I think it's safe to say Keenan Allen, a one. That's really, I mean, you know, I'm sure people in this area will Odell. I'm sure a lot of people in this area will say Odell's a one. And I think you've got like Terry McLaurin, AJ Brown, Amari Cooper, and so I guess my point is,
what about DJ Moore?
I love DJ Moore. I don't think he has, like, is he the number one wide receiver for Carolina? Yes, but has he solidified himself as like that wide receiver that here's, well, first of all, let's do this. How do you, Michael, define a number one wide receiver? For me, it's a wide receiver that's uncoverable. Even if you double team him, even if you shadow him, like for example, Juju Smith-Schuster, right? The Pittsburgh Steelers let Antonio Brown go, and they came into the past seasons without Antonio Brown, assuming that Juju Smith-Schuster would be their number one. Now, He was the team's number one wide receiver. Of course, now there's Claypool. I put Claypool before Juju Smith-Schuster, but he could not create separation. He could not get open. He was not putting up number one numbers. He was not facilitating the responsibility of a number one wide receiver because he needed the help of Antonio Brown. When he is bracketed, when he's double covered, he's not getting open. So who are those wide receivers that get open when they are double, when they are the main attraction, when they are the main responsibility for opposing defenses? Davante Adams, DeAndre Hopkins, Michael Thomas, Keenan Allen, Mike Evans, Stephon Diggs, Ty Hill, Allen Robinson. I want to lean towards DJ Moore. I love DJ Moore. I don't know if he's there yet. Terry McLaurin, Amari Cooper, AJ Brown. So, let me ask you this, Michael. How would you define a number one wide receiver in the NFL? Not necessarily a number one receiver on a specific team, but like if that wide receiver went to another team, he would still ball out, given that he's got somewhat of a legit quarterback, a top 20 quarterback.
I think it comes down to 1,000 yards for me. I think at any time, any season, the baseline is you're going to get 1,000 yards from them. Doesn't matter if they have receivers on their team, if they're the only receiver, if they have a quarterback or not, you're getting 1,000 yards, and that's that. And I think with DJ Moore, this season is going to be interesting because he doesn't have a Curtis Samuel. Christian was hurt last year. If he's back this year and he's able to be that same guy, that same running back, and also out of the backfield with pass catching, we'll see. But I think there is right now, there are a bunch of really good wide receivers that are on the second tier where it is a Terry, a DJ, those type of players that aren't there yet as a solidified number one. But I do think if you consistently put up 1,000 yards each and every year, I think you become a number one.
But here's the thing, Michael. You could put up 1,000 yards as a number two because you have a number one who's getting all the attention. So it opens up things for you. And also, you could get... I'm trying to see if, you know... Here's the thing. Like, I don't think Will Fuller is a number one. But all the garbage time that the Texans played last year and all the yards and, of course, playing with Deshaun Watson. And keep in mind, Fuller was suspended for the last, six games or something because of, you know, testing positive for some type of performance-enhancing drug. So for example, here are the wide receivers last year that posted 1,000 yards. Mike Evans, yes, legit number one. Tyler Lockett. I don't know if Tyler Lockett is a number one. AJ Brown. Robbie Anderson. I don't look at Robbie Anderson as a number one, but what happened? Carolina, they played from behind a lot. Matt Rhule loves to toss the rock. They had Teddy Bridgewater, and Robbie Anderson is that wide receiver who's that deep threat. And so a lot of the completions that Robbie Anderson had were passes that were 20 yards or more. Brandon Cooks had 1,150. I don't look at Brandon Cooks as a number one wide receiver anymore. And check this out. You've got tight ends. You've got both Travis Kelce and Darren Waller both put up over 1,000 yards. I mean, heck, Travis Kelce was the number one leading receiver as a tight end for the Kansas City Chiefs at 1,416. And Justin Jefferson, rookie Justin Jefferson, 1,400. Why? Minnesota Vikings playing from behind. Their defense sucked last year. So, Kirk Cousins chucking the rock all over the playground in the fourth quarter. So I understand what you're saying in regard to, you know, wide receivers that post over 1,000 yards, but I feel that you have to do an even deeper dive to...
I think it's more consistently 1,000 yards. Like, you can get a Robbie Anderson gets 1,000 yards 1 year. Like, Justin Jefferson, really good first season, but do we know if he's able to do this over and over again for the next 2-3 years? Then we could be like, yeah, he's a true number one. I think any wide receiver that's good enough can get 1,000 yards, like you said. If you have a quarterback that's always, you're always down late and you're throwing the ball, garbage time. But if every single year you're getting over 1,000 yards, I think that's what makes you a wide receiver one. You can't, I don't think you can be named a wide receiver one after your first or probably second year in the league. I just couldn't call Justin Jefferson right now, at least, a wide receiver one. He had a good rookie season and a good rookie campaign. Let's see what happens when we have a year's worth of film on you.
Two other wide receivers that I left out that I definitely think are wide receiver ones. Julio Jones, obviously, when healthy, and Adam Thielen, which I think some people could debate with me, and that's fine. I think it would be a healthy, interesting debate. But so, and I just want to, before we go to break, 800-919-3776, I just want to leave these numbers with you. And this is Galladay. He played in 11 games in 2017, put up 477 yards and 3 touchdowns. In 2018, he played in 15 games, put up 1,063 yards and scored 5 touchdowns. Obviously, here's the thing. Kenny Galladay is getting paid for his 2019 stats, okay? And again, 4 years, $72 million, $40 million guaranteed. What? He played in 16 games, so he played in all 16 games. He had 116 targets. He had 65 receptions. He put up 1,190 yards, and he scored 11 touchdowns. And if I recall, it's the most touchdowns of any wide receiver. I remember that year, 2019, in fantasy football, because I believe that it was the most touchdowns scored by any wide receiver that season. Now, go back and, you know, what were the Detroit Lions at that point? You know, that was, again, that was an off year. Matthew Stafford was chucking the rock all over the playground. He was connecting with Kenny Galladay, downfield, receptions, 20 yards or more. Now, again, I let me preface. I should have said this. Listen, I like this signing for the Giants. I don't dig the money, because again, to me, Kenny Galladay to me is a guy who's on the fence. You want to sell me that he's a number one wide receiver? 800-919-3776. I'll listen to you. I'm on the fence with Kenny Galladay. I'm on the fence with Kenny Galladay. I'm on the fence with Terry McLaurin, although I'm leaning more towards one. I think the dude's spectacular. What he's been able to do with subpar quarterbacks is just ridiculous. Amari Cooper, A.J. Brown. And I understand we're in a very unique year. And again, we had David Cantor on yesterday, NFL agent. And he said what I've been saying for a few weeks now, and that is this season you're going to have the haves and the have-nots. There's no middle class when it comes to the NFL this season, which is going to be really interesting, because I think what makes the NFL so special is parity. So let's take this conversation one step further. Number one, A, do you think Kenny Galladay is a number one wide receiver? B, what do you think the addition of Galladay and Kyle Rudolph does for Daniel Jones? And is this the season, now that Daniel Jones has more weapons to work with? That's one of the excuses, right? Well, you know, what is, with all due respect to, you know, Sterling and Evan Ingram and Slay, you know, that's been one of the debates or one of the excuses in regard to why we haven't seen Daniel Jones step up and be a top-tier quarterback. Well, what is he working with? Are the additions of what the Giants have added to this roster, is this the season, as Mama Mimi likes to say, poop or get off the pot, Anita?
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN. This is Click,
Click, Click, Click,
or Don't. Click, click, boom. Very simply, here's the headline. Are you interested in clicking or not?
Hey, Anita Marks with you. Hour 2 on 98.7 ESPN. It's time for Click or Don't Click. It's kind of a fun way that we take our tour around social media and find out what is trending at 10:07 a.m. on a Sunday morning. And Ty, our producer, he leads the way. We look at a lot of the headlines and decide whether or not we're interested in that story or not. So what you got for us, Ty?
I feel too good, bro. I'm ready.
That's the headline?
That is the headline.
All right, I'm intrigued. All Click. Right.
That was what Mitchell Robinson tweeted yesterday as he looks to come back tonight from his hiatus, missed the past 15 games with a broken right hand, but he has been upgraded to questionable. The Knicks play the Sixers tonight, so it'll be good to have Mitchell Robinson back in there. Tom Thibodeau, though, said he wants to see how it goes. Eventually, he'll get back to starting, whether that happens right away or down the road. I'm comfortable with both guys in that role, and I'm really comfortable with Taj Gibson as well. That gives us great depth at that position. The two guys he's talking about are Gibson and Nerlens Noel, who had been filling in as the starter in place of Mitchell Robinson. So he might be back tonight. The Knicks 2-3 in their last five games. Tough, tough stretch ahead as this team looks to get into the playoffs. You get 10 playoff spots, so they'll probably be in that play-in game. But they get an extra boost tonight with Mitchell Robinson returning to the lineup.
They take on the 76ers. As you said, no Ben Simmons, no Embiid. And the Knicks they've won four straight. They're looking for five. How, like 3 weeks ago, Ty, we were on the show. What'd I say? The Knicks, yes or no, to make it to the postseason was +210. You remember that?
I remember.
It's negative money now. It's negative money now. And I put money. And remember, we had the conversation. Should I put, I said, I'm going to take $100. Should I put $100 down that the Knicks make it to the playoffs? Or should I put $100 down that the Dallas Mavericks don't make it to the playoffs? And we agreed on the Knicks to make it to the, so I put $100 down at +210 that the Knicks make it to the playoffs. We got to feel really good about, this is our show bet, right? This is our show bet.
So right now, as it stands, the Knicks at 21-21 are the sixth seed. They are just one game, though, ahead of the 10th-seeded Chicago Bulls. Three games ahead of the 11th-seeded Toronto Raptors, who sit at 17-24. So you feel comfortable right now if you're a Knicks fan. But you've got the Sixers. Then you've got two games against the Wizards. But then it goes Bucks, Heat, Wolves, Mavericks. So, I mean, the Wizards game's not all that tough, but then you play two of the classes of the Eastern Conference in Milwaukee and Miami before going to Minnesota to play a really bad team. But then you host the Dallas Mavericks, the team we were just talking about. So some winnable games there, but it starts tonight here on 98.7 ESPN pregame at 7:30 as the Knicks take on the Sixers. Welcome back to the fold, Mitchell Robinson.
Woohoo!
All right, the next one, does the MVP chance take a hit?
Of course I'm clicking this for
all
sure.
Right, well, here was Dave McMenamin yesterday on LeBron's chances to win the MVP following that high ankle sprain he suffered in the loss to the Atlanta Hawks.
Again, LeBron's a very motivated person to do whatever he needs to do, because he also recognizes that literally the last game that they played was a magnificent performance from LeBron against the Hornets, 37 points. And his entire team is saying, here's the MVP. And he admitted that that means something to him. And if he goes out and misses an extended period of time here, well, that would remove him from the MVP conversation.
Yeah. So as I said, when I opened up the show in regard to that MVP race, and it's interesting, Ty, we were talking about yesterday, right? When we dove into our LeBron versus Michael Jordan conversation. At that point in time, LeBron to win the MVP, you were absolutely right, and beat out, it looked like, you know, he was sailing away with it. And the odds were 2-1, +230, +250 in some places. Now, overnight, with that ankle injury, high ankle sprain, it's now dropped to +550 for LeBron to win the MVP. So no longer favored.
No longer favored. And with Embiid also out, you'd have to assume that, you know, going to the top of the list right now has to be Nikola Jokic, who right now is having an incredible season in Denver, averaging nearly a triple-double, 27-11-9. But the Nuggets, they're the fifth seed. So if they can get up to maybe the two or the three seed, then you'd have to assume Jokic is going to be the front runner. But you also mentioned last weekend how you thought James Harden, a little closer to home, Harden
11-1
is someone who could make some noise.
11-1.
But the only thing about with Harden is you got to figure that because of the way he exited Houston, that narrative is going to affect his MVP chances. Also, Durant is expected to come back in the next couple of weeks. So when you're playing alongside two of the best, 15 players in the league, it's hard to convince voters that you're somehow the most valuable player in the NBA.
That's fair. It's fair. And we don't, and here's another thing, like, you know, we only have a very small, think about it, we only have a very small sample size of these three dudes playing together, right?
Yeah.
Like, we don't,
six games.
Exactly. So, you know, how is that chemistry going to work? And it's not a knock on them. I mean, you know, you've heard from LeBron and Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade. It took them a second mm-hmm. when they all got together in Miami. It's just, you know, the chemistry, the ebb and flow, it's going to take a second. So we don't even know, you know, how is everybody's stats going to be affected, you know, at that point. We just don't know, right?
So you have to figure that the Joker and the Greek Freak are 1 and 2 in the MVP voting right now on that ladder. But a lot of people have decided that Giannis is disqualified because after back-to-back MVPs, he has flamed out in the postseason. The Bucks haven't even gotten to the NBA Finals. But over to college hoops, the madness is upon us.
Oh, of course I'm. Are you kidding? Dude. I'm 22-4 in 2 days. I'm all up. I am in like Flynn. Yes, I'm clicking it.
The one game that you could not have bet on yesterday
Uh-oh.
Was number 7 Oregon against number 10 VCU because that was declared a no contest due to what the Rams said were multiple positive COVID tests within their program. So Oregon automatically advances to round 2. Where on Monday, it will play against number 2-seeded Iowa. So this was one of the biggest fears the NCAA had. We saw during the conference tournaments, Virginia had a game canceled. Duke had to withdraw. So this, I mean, it's tough because they're in a bubble. So you have to assume that everything's going to go well. Like we saw it work for baseball. We saw it work for the NBA. But a lot of teams, a lot of moving parts, and unfortunately, yesterday we had our first cancellation.
Listen, this is tough. You know, one thing that I don't think a lot of us are talking about, or I'm not hearing, is like, you know, we're talking about 18, 19 year old men,
yeah.
right? Like, you know, it's one thing for like a 20 something year old professional athlete to understand, you know, the depths of, you know, not going out, not taking risks. I think it's hard for my friends, right? Like 40-year-olds, 50-year-olds to do the right thing. Like a lot of times I'm having conversations with, you know, I went to a birthday party yesterday. I didn't go inside. I stayed outside. They came outside. We all wore masks. I you know, gifted her a bottle of champagne and a card. Are you kidding? I would have loved to have gone inside. I would have loved to. I mean, I miss that. I miss that social interaction. I'd love to go to a birthday party. But I feel like, you know, I've been so good for so long that I just don't want to risk it now, especially with this new strain. That's out. That seems to be a lot more deadly than previously. So anyway, I'm just saying, you know, if this is the only game that doesn't get contested, right? That they don't play because of COVID-19. God bless. That'll be a surprise to me because again, I sometimes think we forget. You know, we're dealing with very young men right now.
Yes.
You know.
Yes, and it's still, you know, cloudy as far as how to handle all of this. But we did see a ton of upsets yesterday. Number 14, Abilene Christian, takes out number 3, Texas, in a 1-point win, nail-biting victory. Number 13, Ohio, took out the defending champion, Virginia Cavaliers, 62-58. Sorry about that, Chris Canty, our guy. And number 10, Maryland, shout out to Peter Rosenberg. They took out number 7, UConn, 63-54. So we saw some upsets on Friday night, more yesterday. My question to you, Anita, is do we actually want to see upsets? Like, I know in the moment we're rooting for it because it's fun, it's exciting, it's entertaining. But then we're faced with the reality that, oh, yeah, so we're not going to see Ohio State, Virginia, you know, Michigan State no longer part of this dance. We already are without Kentucky and Duke. So do we actually, in the end, want to see upsets? Or do we root for the better teams, the better programs to advance because it's much more interesting that way?
It's a great question. And I'm assuming, is this our last click or don't click? Because I want to shelf it there. And I want to come back and I want to talk about the bracket and where it stands right now and who, you, me, we should be rooting for to try to keep our hopes alive that we could win our pool, assuming that the majority of us went chalk at least 90% of the time. Okay, so why don't we do that? We'll shelf that. We'll come back. We'll take a look at the NCAA bracket, and we'll talk about some of the matchups moving forward. Great job, Ty, by you. Appreciate you, my friend.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
For the last 20 minutes, I've been trying to find a pen. I just don't understand how I don't have one pen in my home. How does that happen? How does one have not one pen in a home?
You know what's going to happen, right? You know what's going to end up happening.
Like Ty, I have I'm yelling at my dogs. Like, what have you done with my pens? Where have you buried them? That's what it's gotten to. That's where it's gotten to. Is this a joke? Did my friends come over here and hide all my pens? How does someone not have a pen? Yeah, I'm talking to you, Billy. How does someone not have a pen? I don't get it. What do you think is going to happen
here? Well, so it's not that you don't have it. It's that you're going to find it once you're done looking for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to kick yourself and say, wait, why wouldn't I have looked for it here? Or how did this pen manage to get here?
But here's the thing. You're talking about one pen. I should have several. Who doesn't have a pen? I should have several pens. This is just insane to me. So I'm sitting here and I can't write anything.
Type it then. That's what you have computers and
I know. I'm a writer. I like to write everything. It's how I process. I feel like I process better when I write and then it travels right from my hand through my arm into my brain in my through my eyes. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
does it make sense? I'm a writer.
Yes.
Anyway. All right. Enough about my struggles. I mean, champagne problems, right? What's Anita's biggest problem on a Sunday morning? I don't have a pen. Okay. All right. Let's take a look at the brackets right now. And you tell me if you agree or disagree with me. And Michael, feel free to chime in here because I'm assuming that you're playing in a few pools as well. I would imagine. So right now, Baylor and Wisconsin, they advance. I've got Baylor advancing to the Sweet 16. So we're all rooting for Baylor, right? I'm assuming we're all on the same page. Villanova beats Winthrop, but North Texas beats Purdue. Now, I had Purdue advancing to take on Baylor to the Sweet 16. So now I am rooting for North Texas today. And by the way, North Texas getting 5.5, it's a play. Mark it down. North Texas plus 5.5 today. It's a play. They've got great athletes. The Mean and Green, or Mean Green as they call them, they are going to stay hot. So I like North Texas plus 5.5 today against Villanova. I love Jay Wright. Full disclosure, I probably have a huge crush on Jay Wright. But North Texas, I think, wins this in advances. And I need them to, again, because Purdue was – you know, how many people do you know have North Texas advancing to the Sweet 16? I don't know many. If somebody out there has North Texas advancing to the Sweet 16, call on the show and be honest, okay? 800-919-3776 and tell me all the reasons why you have North Texas advancing to take on Baylor in the Sweet 16. I'm really curious. I had Texas Tech coming out of that win against Utah State, and I love Arkansas. I said it yesterday. I've got Arkansas going all the way to the Elite Eight. And in some instances, I have Arkansas upsetting Baylor. It was a close call. If you did watch that game against Colgate went up, I said by 10 points to start that game. And then Arkansas came back. But I love Arkansas. So rooting for Arkansas. Now, Florida over Virginia Tech. That was kind of a 50-50 with me. So Florida's fine. But Ohio State losing to Oral Roberts. What? And I had Ohio State advancing to the Sweet 16. So now what am I going to do? I'm rooting for Oral Roberts. And by the way, I love Oral Roberts getting the 8.5 today. All right? I mean, they look great against Ohio State. And Florida's just been really, really inconsistent. So that's another play for you. So now I've given you two plays. North Texas plus 5.5, Oral Roberts plus 8.5. And by the way, I'm going to play some teasers today as well. So I love teasing teams that are already getting plus points who I think are going to win anyway. There's nothing better than that. Okay, so that's the South. So that's who I'm going to be rooting for in the South. Oral Roberts, Arkansas, North Texas, and Baylor. Just because Purdue and Ohio State were bumped out, And those were the two teams I had advancing to the Sweet 16. Make sense? Comprende?
We get it.
Okay. Well, are you... Do you agree with me or no?
I don't know about the whole loving Oral Roberts thing today.
You think you've got Florida? You got Florida over Oral Roberts?
Well, Florida's the better team. So it's, you know, it is to me. What happens is like when a team comes off of such an emotional win like that, because of the magnitude, you know, 15 beating a 2. I don't automatically think they're going to keep that up. I think that that's a one-off, and you're just going to get bounced by the better team in the following round.
Okay. Do you remember what was the bottle of wine I wagered with Joe Wiz yesterday? What game was that?
I don't have a
clue. You don't remember what game that was?
No.
I wonder what game it was. It may have been, you know what? It may have been UCLA BYU. I'm not sure.
And the exception with what I just said was Loyola Chicago a couple of years ago going to the Final Four. They rode that magical run with Sister Jean. Shout out to her. But yeah, I typically think that after a win like that, you're just going to get beat the next round by whatever the better team is or whoever the better team is.
By the way, Baylor is favored by 6.5, just FYI. Their 3-point attack is just absolutely ridiculous. And Wisconsin doesn't have great defense, so I'm actually staying away from that line. I'm taking the over in that game. I'm taking the over in the Baylor game, and I don't have that point. I don't have that point spread that total in front of me, but that's how I would play that game. All right, really quick, let's look at the Midwest before we're going to go to a break. We got Pat Leonard from the New York Daily News who's going to be joining us. So Illinois won again, as I said yesterday. I've got Illinois advancing to the finals. In fact, I've got Illinois. Illinois is my number one team that I have winning this whole damn thing. Loyola Chicago advanced. That's who I had. Oregon State, boy, Beavers, they look good against Tennessee. Now, I had Tennessee coming out of that, but you also have Oklahoma State. So this is kind of a toss-up. I like Oregon State today, by the way. Oregon State, and this is another Oregon State. Man, they're hot. Pac-12. I know Oklahoma State has Cunningham, but I like Oregon State getting the points at 5+5.5, and this is another team that I'm probably going to tease. I like a lot of the dogs today, obviously. Syracuse and San Diego State. This was a 50-50 in my bracket. Some I have Syracuse advancing, some I have San Diego State, but I have West Virginia advancing to the Sweet 16. So I need West Virginia to win. But you like Syracuse today, right?
I'm a homer, though.
Is that why? Is it because you're a homer?
Yeah, I mean, Buddy Boeheim was sensational on.
Wasn't
on
he?
Friday night. He was.
You
incredible.
Know, he's 26. He's 26 of 53 from downtown. 26 of 53.
Yeah, he's great. And on your show yesterday, Richard in Manhattan shared a stat. He said that Boeheim's the oldest coach to ever coach his son.
It's his son. Yeah, I thought that was interesting. I don't know if I have a play in this game. I do like Syracuse. The line is West Virginia's favored by 4.5. Maybe I take Syracuse and I tease that up to +10.5. Maybe that's what I do. But I don't necessarily have a strong conviction, a strong play in this game. And then, of course, I've got Rutgers and Clemson. Majority of my brackets, I had Rutgers advancing. Houston takes care of Cleveland State. And I have Houston advancing into the Sweet 16. So, sorry, you know, don't mean to be a negative Nelly, but I'm hoping Houston wins. But here's the thing. Rutgers is getting 8.5. You know, Houston is the more complete team. And their defense is just sick. Opponents are only shooting 37% against Houston's defense. So I think Rutgers I think they're in for a long day. That point spread again is Houston is favored by 8.5. I don't know. Maybe because of Houston's defense and they're so good. Maybe I play the under in this game. I need to take a look at that point total. But anyway, today. As of right now, how am I feeling? Probably my favorite plays are Arkansas with the points, Oral Roberts with the points, North Texas with the points, and Oregon State with the points. Those are my four favorite plays as of right now, as of 10 a.m. on this Sunday morning.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN. You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Let's talk some NBA for a hot second. You've got the Nets going up against the Wizards tonight. Tip-off is at 7 o'clock. keep in mind, the Nets coming off of a loss to the Orlando Magic, but in the meantime, Kyrie put up 43 points. Harden's averaging almost 50% shooting percentage, which is really, really impressive. Last time these two teams faced each other, Washington did win 149 to 146. Of course, you got that 1-2 punch with Westbrook and Bradley Beal, by the way. But more importantly, Ty just notified me that Blake Griffin is expected to make his debut tonight against the Wizards. Yes?
Yes, that is correct. His debut tonight, which should be fun. The Nets lost their last game against the Magic. It was a terrible loss against a woeful team. But they won 12 of their last 13 games. The one loss was against your Dallas Mavericks. A game the Nets were without Kyrie Irving. But yeah, tonight against Michael's Washington Wizards, should be fun to see Blake out there. I believe he's gone like something like a year and a half without a dunk, which is crazy when you consider that's what he was known for.
I remember when he hit the league and just how impressive it was. And what he was able to, you know, like his body type and the way that playing as that forward position, but having ball handle skills of a point guard.
He's jumping over cars. It was,
yeah, I mean, he was just unbelievable. So obviously he's coming off the bench. He's not starting. What can you anticipate for folks who might want to use him, you know, maybe a prop bet out there over under or, you know, maybe points over under. Any idea how many minutes he's expected to get tonight?
Well, they did say he's going to be on a minutes restriction.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you are. I'm not a big gambler, but if you are a gambler, I don't know if this is a guy you really want to touch, just because you don't know what minutes restriction actually means.
Have you seen his prank show yet?
I came across it last night when I was watching College Hoops, because I think it was on True TV. Is that correct?
I believe it's on True TV. Yeah. I've been seeing the promos for it. You know, obviously because you're watching True TV because of the tournament. Because
I was going through all the channels, and when I get back to True TV, I'd been watching the game there. I get back to it, and I'm just like, why is Blake Griffin on my television? So I went back to TBS. To get to an actual game that was being played.
Interesting. And then, of course, you've got the Knicks tonight as well. That tip-off just an hour later against the 76ers. No Ben Simmons, no Embiid. Tobias Harris is really the guy that they're leaning on right now. And the Knicks are looking to win their fifth straight, which is really, really impressive. And just a good time to kind of run into a 76ers team that has two of their best players, of course, that are going to be inactive. But I want to talk about LeBron James here. And LeBron James goes down with an ankle injury last night. So the Lakers lose to Atlanta 99-96. Now, what I find really interesting in this, and we'll get into the Lakers' odds to win the championship and the MVP in a second, but Hill fell on his ankle, okay? And if you go, like, you know, based on some of the comments that were made last night with LeBron's teammates, Kuzma, for example, and some of the things that were said on social media, there's a feel and there's a vibe that this was done intentionally. And I know you're a big Lakers fan. You're a big LeBron fan. I'm sure you've seen this video over and over again. I have not. Do you feel, in watching the video, Ty, do you feel this was deliberate?
Well, Solomon Hill's going after the ball. I don't think there was any malice or ill will in his mind. It's such a bang-bang play. I don't think it was done intentionally. It's unfortunate. LeBron literally never gets hurt. This is a guy who you'll see him go down hard, bounce right back up. He's a machine. The most physically imposing athlete I've ever seen as far as basketball is concerned. But I don't think it was intentional. It just sucks, though. High ankle sprain. He's going to be out for a couple weeks. No Anthony Davis. It's very, very unfortunate.
It is. It is unfortunate.
And he actually came. The crazy part about it was he hurt himself. You know, he came out of the game, went back in, hit a three, and then removed himself, went back to the locker room. He, like, slammed a chair. So you knew it wasn't good. because of, you know, how frustrated he was, how upset he was. But no timetable yet on how long he's going to be out. But the anticipation is he's going to be out a couple of weeks, which sucks. Not good, Amina, not good. I know you're going to miss watching him play.
Not good at all. By the way, the Lakers still favored to win the championship at plus 260. The Nets right behind him at 3-1. So I guess a few things, and we talked about this earlier on in the show. Anthony Davis, when is he expected back?
He is going to be evaluated again next week. But
so there's no timetable for his return.
There's no timetable, but he's in evaluating him. It means that he still hasn't been, you know, active. He still has to get on the court and do 1-on-1 and 2-on-2 drills before they ramp it up and he's able to play 5-on-5. So it sounds like it's still going to be quite some time.
Have you taken a look at their schedule in the next few weeks just to see, you know, are they playing cellar dwellers?
Well, tonight,
are they?
They're in Phoenix. So
right. I saw they're taking on the Suns.
They're drawing dead tonight. The Suns have been great this year with Chris Paul and Devin Booker. But then they play the Pelicans, Sixers with no Embiid. Simmons is out tonight, but we'll know later on if he's going to play on Thursday. Then you get the Cavs and Magic. So a couple games that are winnable. That they go into it even without LeBron and Anthony Davis, that they can still win. But then you get the Bucks, you've got the Suns, you've got the Clippers coming up. It's going to be tough.
So I guess my question to you is, you know, how confident are you that when it's all said and done, like how big of a hit do you think this is going to be for them to, you know, win the West and make sure that they, you know, that they control home court advantage?
Well, home court advantage doesn't matter. They won the championship last year without home court in the bubble. You got LeBron and Anthony Davis on the floor together, two of the top seven players in the league. Home court, especially coming off a championship, home court doesn't really matter. But I would say the biggest loser in this might be Utah. Why, you ask? Because if the Lakers sink to the eighth seed, they become the most dangerous eighth seed we've ever seen in NBA history. And now you've got a date with Utah in round one, who they already feel disrespected. You got to play the Lakers in that first round. That's high upset alert. You do the whole gambling thing, you'd have to put a ton of money on the Lakers if they play the Jazz in round one. So they might be the biggest losers in all of this when all the dust is settled.
You know, another thing you've got to, and I would be concerned with is, you know, if LeBron's, and keep in mind, you know, high ankle sprain sometimes is worse than an ankle break, right? And the timetable for return is pretty long or longer than if an athlete was to break an ankle. But you make an excellent point in regard to LeBron. Like, you know, he's otherworldly, especially when it comes to recovering from injuries. Will he get back on the court faster than most? Probably. But if he's going to take some time away because of the ankle and Anthony Davis, by the time that they get back together on the court, it's going to take a minute to gel. You know, that's got to be a concern there as well. Again, the Lakers still favored to win the championship at plus 260, but I'll tell you what, my money's on the Nets. The Nets are right behind them at 3-1. And if the Nets can stay healthy and they get KD back soon, I think that's a good place to put your money. And as we all know, the road to the championship is a lot easier out of the East than it is in the West.
How fun would that be here in New York City if we get Lakers Nets in the NBA Finals?
Oh boy.
And the assumption is by July when the finals commence, we'll have fans in the arena. We have fans already in the arenas now, but more fans in the arenas, where you actually feel a little bit of that home court advantage. That'll be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.